Good morning to the show, The Social Impact Journal, the podcast where I talk to the founders, innovators and change makers driving change in our world. I'm here at COP28 in Dubai and I'll be talking to Annette Garoza, the co-founder and chief climate officer at One MT Nation. Annette, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me here.
No, thanks so much for joining. How's your COP going so far?
Well, I must admit, COP is very busy and action-oriented, and we are having so much of going on, amazing events, panels, actually discussing in details what is happening, calling out bad actions, calling out the solutions needed, finance needed, and I'm very, very excited.
Awesome, awesome. I think we'll get more into COP and some of the work you've been doing in the last few weeks a little
Definitely.
Bit later on. But it'll be great to hear, how did you get into the climate action space and really what inspired you to move into the sector?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm an international climate lawyer and I have my own legal firm back in the Baltics. And 6 years ago, eventually, when I started my legal journey on my own, I also found a niche, climate. Nature has been always been close to my heart, that's one. And I was doing the similar projects that I did in Europe, but I didn't felt actually along the way that I have been doing that much impact as possible. And I also saw so much opportunities what could be, you know, bigger than what I did. And that's how I actually started moving towards as well Africa, moving towards the scale what we are at the moment. We have big plans. I think we have been executing it pretty well. And we have a great team, we have great partners, and I'm very excited.
Awesome, awesome. So you're talking here about your work in Africa with One MT Nation.
Yes.
So what's the mission of that organization?
So we have a mission. We want to restore 1 million hectares of degraded land by year 2030 in Africa. Okay. It's a very big mission, and for that we need, you know, we need a great executing team. We need partners. We need a good collaboration with the government, with the public sector. We need a good collaboration with the financing sector. We need the voice of Africa, and from that, everything will happen.
Awesome.
Big mission.
Yeah, I know it sounds great, and I think being at COP and talking to lots of experts, there's so many terms in climate that can be a little bit difficult to understand for everyone, you know, in our audience. So looking at carbon credits and carbon markets as a whole, I know this is really core to your work at One MT Nation.
Yeah.
How would you explain this to someone that has never heard the term before?
I love this question. Asking for a lawyer to explain something very easy. It's so difficult. You have to understand me. But from the easiest as I can get, one carbon credit represents 1 ton of carbon dioxide removed out of the atmosphere. Right. And carbon markets is just a platform how we can buy and sell these credits, if I can put it as easy as it is.
So one carbon credit is 1 ton of carbon that is
removed from the atmosphere.
Yes.
Okay, let's stay there.
No, I think that works for me. That works for me. So how does that model work within One MT Nation?
So within One MT Nation, we are, first of all, we are restoring degraded land in Africa by using a tool. Our tool is bamboo. So we are planting polyculture bamboo with the mosaic approach, also implementing biodiversity management practices. And these all activities are credited by or will be credited by Vera. Our project is in Vera Carbon Standard. It will the verification is happening next year. We are of course new. This year is our first planting season, and we are happily that everything went as we planned. All the practices has been implemented. The work with the community and also the partnerships in Uganda. We hope that this is not the only project that we'll be having. Yeah. We have so much to do and also other countries to look at.
Yeah. Awesome. You mentioned two things there, bamboo and Uganda.
Yes.
So I want to ask on both of those. Bamboo, why did you choose bamboo as a material?
Well, as a material, bamboo is wonderful. And I must admit that I have been working into the nature-based solution space for especially for tree planting, I think it's around 4 years. coming from pine and landing in bamboo was an amazing journey. Of course, we did a lot of research, and bamboo has been already recognized worldwide. It's a very good in terms of the carbon sequestration, but it's sustainable timber. And actually, and the value chain is so large. And these were the metrics when we chose the material with which to start. We fought, and it's not just we, but we see it. From the research that it actually creates the biggest impact, not only from the environment, but if we are going beyond the carbon, because we see actually that all the discussions as well here in COP, we need to talk about benefits that we can get beyond carbon. And from the community perspective and also the economy perspective in country like Uganda, we see that actually bamboo is a very fast impact. It creates a bigger value chain, and you can do so much out of bamboo. Also today I have a bamboo t-shirt.
Awesome.
And then how wonderful it to be, you know, produce fabric out of bamboo in Uganda.
Wow.
From
so that's
sustainable
produced
timber.
In Uganda.
We could do it, yeah. We are very looking forward to also a pulp factory. Actually, our mission is to be not in the whole value chain. We want to promote the local people as much as possible. And starting from the nurseries, we are pre-investing, pre-purchasing seedlings from the nurseries, bringing up the supply, because supply material, the planting material, it's the start of our journey. And then in the end of the day, there is off-takers. And we see that that could be the greatest journey, that actually the off-takers are the local entrepreneurs. We want to encourage them. We want to work together with them to show what we can make out of bamboo. And pulp factory is one of the good solutions to have out of the bamboo plantations. It can produce paper. It can produce also a sustainable fabric. Yeah. And worldwide, this is recognized.
You talked about engaging the community. So maybe just walk me through that process, because we have a lot of nonprofits and those that are supporting local communities on the show.
And I will be pretty straight. We are here with our bamboo project. We are here with the three P's, people, planet, profit. And we saw that our restoration project needs to have a commercial sense also for the local communities. And I will explain why. At the moment, in the first approach that we have been launching in Uganda, we are leasing the land.
Okay.
We are leasing the land from the private landowner. That's the first model that we have been at the moment approaching. But where the communities are coming in, first of all, we see that that of course landowner gets the land lease, which is higher than the market standard at the moment in Uganda. That's also their one of the benefits in this project. But not only that. They will get the full forest after the project ends. So basically, they will have a full asset after the project ends, and they will maintain it, and they will get the benefits out of the biomass. And not only that, the thing what we have been measuring is actually the soil. Bamboo is very good in a soil restoration. It brings back value to the soil. So the area which will be planted with bamboo will be better in terms of the soil quality. But where the community is actually coming in is that out of every project area, we are giving away 10% of our revenues to our foundation. And this is where the community comes in, because in with the land in Uganda, we see that there are people living around the project. We are scoping them out. We are through the public participation process scoping out their needs, what they actually need in area, because we want to create a bigger impact. And it's absolutely no use to implement things that we have been thinking of that they need if they actually don't need it. So our approach is we want to work together. We want to understand their needs. They need to work with us, showcase, and then we can move this money from the foundation towards the needs what they actually mean. So of course we have, you know, bigger pillars. We are doing education, sustainable agriculture practices, access to the clean water, access to safety for and also solar energy. This is already in the process of implementation in our first area in Uganda where the bamboos has been planted. the access to the clean water, water infrastructure we already established, and the community is benefiting out of it. So yeah, these are the benefits currently what we are talking about.
And is this located in one area of Uganda right now, or you're working in multiple districts?
Yeah, currently the first plantation is in northern Uganda. Okay. We had a small pilot a little bit closer to Kampala, but the biggest 400 hectares are in northern Uganda. We will be scaling up in the same area.
Yeah.
The project is 10,000 hectares.
Wow.
And it's listed in Vera. But we are looking overall to all Uganda, of course. Okay. We have engaging a lot. We have actually invested a lot of money and also time to develop our digital tools. What is helping us, and it's called site species matching tool, because we want to work in a smart way. We want to understand particularly in which area which bamboos does the best, because it's not only about the carbon credits in the end of the day. It's actually about also the timber and the biomass, and also the benefits what we can get out of the biomass.
Right. Why Uganda? You know, I've spent a lot of time there also. I know it's a fantastic country, but is there a particular reason why you chose Uganda? And what's it been like to spend... I know you spent a lot of time there recently.
Yes, yes. Well, it started unexpectedly. I'm very thankful for my co-founder, which introduced Uganda to me. And we started this journey there. And since the first visit, when I was visiting in Uganda, first of all, I really appreciated the openness of the people and the feeling that we can work together. Because we see that by working together, we can achieve much more. Yeah. And in that sense, I'm very grateful also for the public sector, for the organizations and the private sector in Uganda.
Wow.
I see it as a great movers.
Mm.
And I actually really like spending time and also engaging with the private sector, and going also to the public sector meetings and the ministry, because I see that they are on a very good positive track. They want to develop the country, and that's what we are also there to help use the carbon markets, to share the knowledge, because we have been doing our things back in Europe for some quite time, and we see that we can use this and share the knowledge. So I'm very grateful for this collaboration, actually.
Awesome.
In Uganda.
So this is the first year in Uganda.
Operationally, yes, but we have been a little bit more than 1 year there, and also my co-founder, he has experience with working with Uganda in different projects for I think 6 years. So
So it's obviously been a rapid start, and you've achieved so much in 2023.
Yes,
but I love speaking to founders and understanding the challenges that they've gone through, the obstacles. So if there was one maybe key obstacle that you've had to address and had to overcome in the last year, what has that been?
Definitely lack of digitalization.
Yeah.
Land sector, lack of digitalization in e-governments. Coming from the digital nation, and I'm Latvian, and my co-founder is Estonian. We are enjoying a lot of goods if your country is that digital as in Europe.
Mm.
And by having a business in Africa, it's not only about Uganda, but by having a business in Africa, the lack of digitalization is, I think, the most important aspect what could slow down your progress.
Yep.
If the infrastructure will be there, there will be less gap for mistakes, less gap for risks, and etc. So I would say that the biggest problem for us is the land sector of digitalization and maybe also the process how we are collecting data. Some of the data, for example, in Europe, you can just open up the registry, which is considered as a public registry. Now the legal head talking. And you can easily, you know, look at it. You can easily download this data, and these are trustable.
Yeah.
In Africa, it's a little bit different because our journey to these data are longer.
Okay.
We need to take, for example, sampling, soil sampling. Yeah. We don't have a soil sampling maps, for example.
Yeah.
So this is the process which just a little bit longer sort of journey to the end goal. Mm-hmm. And that also, you know, delays the progress.
Yeah. And you think moving into this year now in 2024, in the next year, is that the major challenge, the major barrier that you're seeing in terms of scaling?
Well, we definitely see it as a challenge in the scaling, because we need to be mindful about land sector, I would say, issues in Africa. We are not after the land ownership. That's first of all. But, you know, our project investments up front are so big. Mm. We need extensive amount of capital, and we need to prove the trust to the investors globally that they can invest in Uganda or invest in Kenya or invest in other countries. So if we have a strong framework that we really, you know, can showcase that it's very strong, it's digital, this is bringing up the trust. And yes, it is a challenge.
Wow. So 2024, what's the goal? If you look back at the end of 2024, what would be deemed as a success for One MT Nation?
For One MT Nation, yes. So for us as a company, we have a quite straightforward goals. First of all, it's to finish next planting seasons. In Uganda, there's two planting seasons. Yeah. We needed to bring the quality and also the supply for seedling material up. And in that sense, I see it as the best goal that we really finish this planting season, what is expected next year, with the great results, and also working together with the nurseries and small SMEs and also associations to really prove that the quality of the planting material is there. I'm very looking forward next year also for the carbon regulations in Uganda. I see it as a great opportunity for the country to establish the best carbon regulations in Africa. Mm. We can also look at it as an investment framework. Yep. It can really bring up the country. If you look at the opportunities,
and this
out there.
Carbon regulations is already out, or it's in a process.
So the carbon regulations in Uganda is in a process. I see some very good movement. I'm very happy that the ministries, expected ministries, are working together, and also that the private sector has a voice in it, because definitely we need to admit that the knowledge within the voluntary carbon market is so new. Everybody maybe don't have answers to everything. But the legal frameworks who are regulating our actions or similar actions in Africa countries, then these frameworks actually are the most important part, because it can kill a business, it can thrive a business, and it can support it. And in that sense, we need to be mindful from every perspective. And I'm happy that public sector is listening to the private and wanting to learn. That's a good start.
Yeah, I think for anything new, any new innovation, public-private sector partnerships, you know, they must happen, and there must be, you know, collaboration and dialogue. So it's good to see that's happening. So is there a planned date of when those regulations are due to come out, or...
To be honest, I'm not aware of the planned date when the regulations will be out. I'm happy that the discussions and the meetings are happening.
So COP28 in Dubai.
Yes.
I know you were on a number of panel sessions and side sessions. What was your experience?
Well, you know, we are so excited by being here, and also the events that have been happening, because we are finally talking in details about solutions which are scalable. We are finally shouting out solutions which are needed and the things that are blocking them. This is the first COP actually when I have been having so much productive conversations. Previously, there was a lot of good talks, a lot of good, you know, announcements to be made, but finally we are having, you know, this I feel it as an action part. Of course, as well, our project is in a development stage. We have done a lot. We have planted 400 hectares. We see the progress already happening. So these are the conversations that we need, and these are the events that we need to call out and be a voice, to be a storytelling. We have this platform. We are very grateful for it to be here and actually to showcase what we have been done.
Awesome. And then COP in general.
Yes. You know,
you've seen the announcements. I'm sure you've been to so many sessions.
Yes.
Are you happy with what you've seen? I know this, obviously, you must not have seen everything. It's like a whole city, the Expo City in Dubai. It's like a whole city on its own. But some of the pledges that have been made, I know there's been a lot of talk of the Loss and Damage Fund. What are your thoughts on a general perspective away from One MT Nation?
On a general perspective, it always can be better, right?
Mm.
If we are looking in the future, we don't have time anymore.
Yeah.
And I will maybe not dig deeper into the announcements. I'm excited about some progress, but the progress is not enough, right? And also, we need to call out the things that have been happening and which are wrong.
Yeah.
And some of the actions from what I see is bringing in people, but they don't understand what they are doing and what they are signing in for. That's what I don't like. I don't want to say nothing in particular, but there are some, you know, things happening. But overall, of course, you know, it can always be better, but we are on the road.
Yeah.
And the main important part after this COP, I hope that finally we will move from nice announcement era to actually, you know, reporting era. And next time when we are meeting together, we are not saying that we are having this pledge, we are having that pledge, but we are saying we did that.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That was my next question. So a question I asked to all my guests on the Social Impact Journal. You know, now that we're in person, you get to have your own book rather than being virtual.
Thank you.
If you could write, no worries, if you could write one page in this book, and I guess maybe you've just talked there about moving from the pledge to action, and you could use one page to send a message to a global leader as COP28 draws to a close and 2024 comes in.
Yes.
What would you say to them?
I think exactly the same what I said just previously. Let's move from announcement and good pledge era. Let's start reporting and just saying what we really did. Because we see a lot of good talks out there. We see a lot of great panels talking about just, you know, the future, the nice future that we will have, but also being boots on the ground in Africa, we see a lot of great stuff happening. Actually, people are doing amazing stuff. Also, you are there, and what how you have been doing. We need every solution. We need, you know, every awareness, and in that sense, we need to be, you know, we need to be down to earth, and we need to call out, and we need to speak what we are actually doing, so we can measure it, and let's start from there.
For sure. Annette, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great to learn more about One MT Nation and your goals ahead for this year. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for watching the episode with Annette. If you did enjoy it, please make sure to follow on our social media channels or subscribe. Episodes are released every Monday at 9 a.m. GMT on all platforms at the Social Impact Journal. Thank you.